From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. And yes, I am now going back to saying corona-infested streets. For the longest time, I was trying to stay positive. I was trying to be on a high note, and I was trying not to be negative by saying corona-infested streets every week. I was hoping that we were going in a more positive direction. But unfortunately, Omarion is pop-locking and dropping. It's B2K-ing all up in these streets, and things are getting out of hand. Literally, the Omicron, which is the formal name, but I prefer to go with the black Twitter name, Omarion. The Omarion virus, but for those who want to, you know, who are getting confused here, the Omicron variant is wreaking havoc in the streets. So these last couple of weeks, right, this last 2 week period has been party central, right? Everyone was throwing a party. All of these holiday parties were happening. Offices were taking the chance, even though I'm not sure what gave them the indication that things were good enough for a 200, 300 person party. But either way, offices around the world decided that, hey, let's go and have a holiday party with 200, 300, 400 people, right? Because the pandemic is no longer. Either way, whatever. These parties were taking place all over the world. New York City, you know, was going crazy. Everyone was having a holiday party. My employer had a holiday party. I did not partake because I'm not about that life. I cannot attend events that have more than a few people, not just because I have COVID anxiety and I've had COVID, but it just didn't make sense to me. You know, with these variants that have come out within the last, I don't know, couple of months, many of them have been vaccine resistant, right? So it didn't matter whether or not you took the vaccine or not, you were still susceptible. You could catch it and you could spread it. So I have observed over the last couple of months that, you know, the vaccinated crew especially refuse to keep their mask on because they feel like they're bionic bunnies. They have their vaccine. They don't need to keep a mask on. And so I already saw what was happening from even months before, you know, Party Central was to take place. I decided I was not attending any of these large events. I was not making any type of appearances at holiday, you know, office holiday parties. It was not happening. And I'm glad I didn't, because over the last couple of weeks, everyone that I know personally who made an appearance and who went to a holiday party received an email shortly thereafter indicating that they need to go get tested because somebody was positive at the party. And the interesting part is that, you know, employers made it a very big deal to ensure that only vaccinated people attend these parties. So these were not parties where unvaccinated individuals were hanging out. So this COVID spread was happening amongst the vaccinated crew. So over these last couple of days, over the last week, the numbers have risen. The numbers have spiked to very, very high and what some are considering alarming numbers. And New York City, at least, has started some shutdowns, right? Broadway is shut down. There's some indoor activities that have also been canceled. I'm hearing that there's a plan to potentially shut down even more. I don't know what that's going to look like. It sucks because we are in the holiday season. People were looking forward to spending time with family and friends. Businesses were looking to thrive a little bit, you know, for the holiday shopping spree. But I don't know. At this point, what I can tell you all is this. I think I said something like this a couple of months ago with respect to shortages happening in the toilet paper aisle at Costco. We were peeping this from before, but with these potential shutdowns taking place, go to the grocery store, guys. Get some food, get some canned goods, get some boxed goods, get your meats, freeze them. I don't know, but just stock up your house a little bit because we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen with this potential lockdown. We don't know what it's going to look like. So you want to make sure that you're not asked out and that you have some food in your refrigerators and in your cupboards, that you have adequate water so that you can survive and that you have adequate toilet paper. Because remember, there was a toilet paper shortage. And you don't want to be, you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be without toilet paper and Bounty this time around. So get your toilet paper, get your Bounty, get some cleaning products just in case people go crazy again and, wipe out the cleaning product aisles. Just be prepared. I'm not saying to go crazy and purchase the entire aisle of toilet paper. We don't want to be that person, but just stock up. Do what you need to do and stock up just in case there is some, even if it's a temporary shutdown, you don't want to be without food, right? So just be prepared. Be vigilant and be prepared. Whew, okay. That was a lot. So Christmas is less than a week away. As we are talking about shutdowns and negativity and sadness and loneliness, Christmas is around the corner. So I'm going to go ahead and say Merry Christmas now, because by the time you guys hear my voice again, it will be the day after Christmas. So, happy Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope that it is, even if you don't celebrate Christmas, but I hope that it's an enjoyable day off. I hope that you're able to spend this time with loved ones. Despite all the craziness that's happening, I hope you guys can at least spend this day with some sort of cheer, right? With some sort of cheer, even if you don't celebrate Christmas for the meaning, but it's always a great time to be around family and friends, right? So I wish you a happy, happy holidays. So let's see, a couple of updates. This week is going to be a Rita show. It's the Rita show again, because next week we are going to be debuting the co-host. The co-host. We're going to be debuting the co-host. So we're getting ready for that episode. So I figured, let me do another Rita show situation, just to get you guys geared up for next week, which is episode 150. It's going to be a very, very big episode, a very, very special episode, because it's episode 150, 150 episodes, guys. That's a really big accomplishment. So I'm proud of it. And I'm proud to be debuting, the new aspect of the show on the 150th episode. But today is going to be the Rita show. We're going to talk about a couple of things, give you guys a couple of updates. And, that'll be that. So the first update, before we get into the whole preliminaries and everything of the show, let's get through some updates. So we are now WJMS Media. We are shifting things a little bit. For those of you who have not been following WJMS on Instagram, we were WJMS Radio, but we are now WJMS Media. You can go ahead and follow us on Instagram so you can learn about the latest happenings and the amazing things that we're going to be rolling out over the course of this year. So I'm excited for it, and I know you guys will too. So that's that. We are now WJMS Media. And so again, if you want to know what that means, what the difference is, follow us on social media so you can get all the latest happenings. So that's that. That's the major announcement. And I wanted to go ahead and share that. The other announcement is a personal announcement. I have now joined the what do we call it? Is there really a tribe? The Lock Tribe. I don't know. Is that what we say? The lock babies? I don't know. I came here thinking I'm giving a big update. Now I don't even know what they call these people. But either way, I am embarking on a lock journey. Some of you are shocked because you guys have told me you're shocked that I am going this route. But the pandemic has taught me many things. One, you know, nobody's seeing you. You're not out here in these streets anyways. So this is the time to try new things, guys. This is the time to try new things. Many of us are still working from home. Even those of us who are hybrid, things are different now. We can try some things with our hair, right? I know people who are dead ass going into work with beautiful head wraps now. Things that was unheard of before. Things that would have been unheard of before, we are able to do it now. So since I am still at this moment working from home, I will be going in hybrid, I think probably come January or February. I don't know. With this whole Marion situation happening, I don't know when I'm going back to the office, in all honesty. I was thinking January, but that might not be the case. But either way, even though at some point I'll be going back to the office, I'm confident enough with how my locks are starting to be out here in these streets. So I know a lot of people go through this ugly phase, and I know people are afraid of the ugly phase, which is why many people have chosen not to embark on their lock journey, because they don't want to go through that. They want to either give their hair some hang time before they lock it up, or they're just like, you know what, this is just not the time. I'm not confident enough, or I'm just not interested in going through. It's not even about confidence sometimes, right? They're just not interested in going into an ugly phase. They're like, I'm not interested in this. So that's what it is. But I have decided to go through and embark on this journey. Now, I know people call it a journey, and I guess it is going to be a journey. It's not a spiritual thing for me, though. I know for some people, growing locks is a spiritual thing. It's not a spiritual thing for me. There is nothing spiritual about this journey for me. I'm calling it a journey, though, because it's going to be something new. It is a process, right? I'm going to have to, you know, get my hair retied every 4 to 6 weeks. It's a different process of how I typically would do my hair. So it's going to be a journey of learning my hair, seeing it grow in this new state. I think that's what's going to be the journey for me, learning how to take care of it in this state, because it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be just me, you know, brushing it back or doing whatever. I'm going to learn how to manage my hair in this new lock state. And then I think the hope for me, because this process is quite expensive, it's going to be me learning how to then do my own hair, right? To be self-sufficient, self-reliant when it comes to doing my hair. So this is a journey. It is a journey. I will say that so far I am enjoying it, but that's also because I had a little hair on my head beforehand. I didn't come in with, you know, the sprouts. Like, I did have some hair. And what I decided to do was micro locks, which is different from, I guess, regular locks, because regular locks are a little thicker. There's a different process that goes into that. I have micro locks. They're not teeny, teeny, tiny like sister locks, but they are small. I did a lot of research before finally settling on micro locks. I do have to give credit to my hairdresser, who I guess is now my loctician. But she also just embarked on this journey of providing the lock service. So I do have to give her credit, though, because I saw her hair, and she also has micro locks. She recently installed them. She's only been, what, maybe 3 months locked. But I liked how they looked, and she was very honest with me with the upkeep and what to really expect. And I think what was even more of a bonus was that her hair texture is the same texture as mine. So I'm literally looking at her hair and I see where it mines will be in the next couple of months. Not everybody has that luxury. So I guess I can say that I'm lucky in that case. Some people do embark on this journey only for them to cut their hair off or to take it out because what they saw was not what they received or what they were experiencing. But I say all that to say this, I am a risk averse person you know, by nature, but I also have this adventurous side. I was always very conservative, I would say, with my hair. Those of you who've known me most of my life know that really doesn't do too much. I don't do too much with my hair. I got my first weave at the age of like, what, 26 maybe? At 26, going on 27, I got my first ever in life weave. So again, not a very experimental person when it comes to my hair. But during this pandemic, I cut my hair off, something that I always wanted to do, but didn't feel like I had the cojones to do. And now I'm locking. I used to say that I would lock my hair when I'm 50 and I don't care about life, but here I am locking my hair. So that is another update. So you guys might hear about this journey on the show. You guys will probably see me post pictures on my personal Instagram to document my journey because that seems to be a thing. But I'm really excited about it. So yeah, so that is a major update for me. So going into the preliminaries, I guess it's about time. It is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is mask fishing. The phenomenon where a person appears to be more attractive because they are wearing a face mask. Example, I thought this guy was totally cute, but then he took his face mask off and I can see that he was face masking. Now, guys, this is a serious, serious thing. This is a phenomenon. It truly is. And I have seen it happen. I can't say that I've been a victim because I have not really been, you know, checking people out during this pandemic, to be honest. I have not been focused on, you know, looking, you know, on fishing, on casting my net. So I haven't been duped, right? I haven't been duped because I'm not looking. I'm not in these streets looking for men. So I'm not, I mean, if you turn out to be what you're not, I mean, whatever, like I'm not, it didn't affect me, right? Because I was not in the game. I'm not here checking for people. However, if you are those individuals who are checking for people, I totally feel your pain because the mask is covering people's face, right? It's like there used to be a meme about, I think when the pandemic first happened, there were memes about this very phenomenon where guys would try to holler at women and they were like, oh, they felt like these women were like gorgeous, these women were cute because, you know, their eyes, their hair, whatever, only for them to remove the mask and it was a toothless Sally. Teeth all crooked, looked like they were taking methamphetamine, teeth all eaten up. And it was this, oh my gosh, like people are really getting got in these streets because of the face mask. I liken this to the hat fiasco, right? The hat phenomenon. And I think we actually gave this definition maybe about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, hat fishing. This is the phenomenon where women are getting got by men all the time because they are not being truthful about what their head looks like underneath a hat. So you had these men who are wearing these fitteds, wearing these beanies, only to have mouse-shaped heads, receding hairlines, and women were getting duped because with the hat, these men were looking amazing, scrumptious. They were looking delicious, right? And then once they take off the hat, it was like, who the hell is this? What the hell is this? So women were getting duped. But here with the mask, you know, everybody can get it, right? Men are getting duped. Women are getting duped. And so this mask fishing thing really is a thing. Now, I haven't heard anybody say they got mask fished before. I haven't heard that term, but I do believe that people are using it, because, you know, with Urban Dictionary, half the time we don't know who's saying what, who's doing what. I do believe, though, that people are using mask fishing somewhere, because it is a thing. People are getting mask fished. People are thinking that, oh my God, this person's eyes or the proportion of their, I don't know what symmetrical calculations are happening when people meet people with a mask on. I don't know how you can tell that, oh, this person is beautiful or this person is handsome. I don't know how people are making these calculations, because the eyes are the eyes, right? The eyes don't tell you that somebody is beautiful. At least, I don't know. Maybe it does, and maybe it's just me. But I don't think the eyes alone can tell you that somebody is beautiful. But apparently, people are getting duped in these streets. They're falling in love with people's eyes and faces. And then once that person takes the mask off, it's a different story. It's a different situation. It's a different creature. So, guys and women, guys and girls, men and women, individuals, because, you know, we have to be politically correct, or I don't even know if it's politically correct. I don't know. Individuals out there who are listening, don't get mask fished, right? I mean, if I don't know, like, if you're fishing, if you're casting your net out there, like, ask the person to take their mask off before. I guess for me, though, the biggest question is, are we having real in-depth conversations with individuals while we're, like, with our masks still on? Like, if a guy, and I need to know this, actually, because if a guy sees a woman and he's like, wow, I want to holler at this woman. This woman has a mask on. Are we macking? I mean, I know macking is a word that's probably outdated, so don't throw stones at me, but, you know, let me live a little bit, right? You're macking, you're talking, you're engaging in a conversation with this woman. Are you, I don't, like, what is coming up for you? Like, are you stimulated? Is it, I guess maybe the conversation is stimulating enough, right? I don't know. Because for me, I'm like, how does one, I don't want to say fall in love, but become so intrigued and so enthralled by an individual who's wearing a mask, and then once the person takes off the mask, you are wanting to run away and retreat. I'm guessing for me, like, if you got so hooked in by the conversation, does it matter if she's missing a couple of teeth? Does it matter that it looks like she was on methamphetamine at one point? Because if you invested so much for you to then feel like you were mask fished, like, for you to be so offended and taken aback, like, oh my God, I was mask fished, that means you must have put a level of effort into this conversation or into this interaction for you to feel so taken advantage of, right? That's where I'm going with this. I don't know. Because I'm thinking, like, because when I think about somebody who's catfished, like, you know, there was conversations, there was phone calls, there was all these things. And then when they found out that they were duped, they were like, oh my gosh, like, all this effort, all this time, all these conversations, you know, they sent me pictures and I fell in love, like, with what I thought was a person. But with the mask, I mean, I feel like all you had, I mean, if at some point in engaging with an individual where you feel like, wow, I think I'm really feeling this person, this conversation's amazing, at that point, I would say, could you please remove the mask? I will step 6 feet away. Let me see what you look like. Let me see what you look like before you fall in love and then get mask fished when you realize the person's missing a couple of teeth. I'm just saying. We have to be vigilant out here in these streets. We have to be prudent. People are taking advantage with the mask situation. People are taking advantage. I mean, I have not experienced it, like I said, because I'm not in these streets. I'm not fishing. I'm not looking. But I can say 100% that people are taking advantage of this opportunity. People who otherwise would not, you know, collect any numbers, individuals who would not be given the time of day, they are being given the time of day because of this mask mandate. You know, you can't see what's underneath the mask. You don't know that I'm missing teeth. You don't know that the front row is gone because of, drugs or whatever it is that people take that gets rid of the, that messes up their teeth. We don't know. We don't know. But yes, mask fish, mask fishing is the word of the week. And I deem this word to be valid. Urban Dictionary, this was a good one. This was a good one. Moving on to the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. This week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is Joyeux Noël. Joyeux Noël means Merry Christmas. So since we are embarking on the Christmas season, Joyeux Noël would be appropriate. So when you see somebody in the streets, you could tell them Joyeux Noël on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. They will be impressed by you. They will be impressed by you. Or you can, you know, give my grandmother's Kringlish version. Remember, Kringlish is the mix between Creole and English. If you cannot remember Joyeux Noël, Joyous Noël, Noël means Christmas, so Joyeux Noël, then you can say Meli Klismas. Meli Klismas is apparently how some of these older Haitians, you know, when they're trying to assimilate, I guess, when they're trying to assimilate and say Merry Christmas in English, the Kringlish version ends up being Meli Klismas. So if you cannot remember Joyeux Noël, you can say Meli Klismas. Meli Klismas. And that is the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. It is now time for the big up of the week.
Watch it. And you can big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up, what?
So this week's big up of the week is what I like to call the universal big ups. This big up of the week goes to all of the organizations that are out here trying to make the holiday season bearable for those who are less fortunate in our community. So every year around this time, you hear about all the different toy drives that are taking place, the food drives, the coat drives. And so I just want to big up all of these organizations that are out here creating holiday experiences for our children. Our children have gone through a lot these last 2 years. This pandemic has not been easy on them. And imagine, many of these kids were broke, they were poor before the pandemic, right? And then the pandemic has come and exacerbated situations. And so I think that now more than ever, giving back to our children, especially giving them, even if it's just one day of joy, whether you believe in Christmas or not, I say this every time, it is important to restore some sort of happiness in some of these kids. And I can say that personally as a kid who grew up poor, who had to rely on these community toy drives so that we could have some sort of happiness, right? And I didn't grow up believing so much in Christmas. You know, my religion didn't really celebrate Christmas, but it was important that during this holiday time when everybody was getting Christmas gifts and things like that, it was important to feel that we weren't left out. And I would say that that was one of the highlights of my year, my brother's year, was to get these gifts. And they weren't elaborate, right? They were free gifts from these toy drives. They were not the most expensive, but you know what? I was happy. I was happy with everything that I got, and I was so appreciative of them. And so, you know, if we can restore some joy for these kids, if we can create some experiences, you know, although children are a little more sophisticated, you know, than back when I was growing up, I think that they would just appreciate the fact that they're getting something, you know, especially during these hard times where some of these parents, you know, they really can't. They really can't come together and scrap something together for these kids, because times have always been hard, but they're even harder now. So I really do commend some of these organizations. I know that Haitian American Caucus is putting together a toy drive. We know that a lot of the offices of the elected officials here in New York City are putting together toy drives. The Disaster Relief Emergency Preparedness Group, DREP, we're going to be putting together a toy drive and holiday event for the migrants that have come from Del Rio, Texas. So there's a lot of organizations that are coming together to bring, you know, holiday cheer in, you know, in the lives of these individuals who have had it really, really, really hard. So big up to you guys, because it takes planning, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes money to be able to make these things happen. And so being selfless during the holidays is amazing. And I commend anyone and everyone who is taking those steps to do that. So with every high, there is always a low, right? And there are so many lows. There are so many womp womps these last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's the end of the year. I don't know if Mercury is in retrograde, back to back. I don't know if there's some sort of, I don't know, issue with the cosmic pull. Is the sun not situated properly? I'm not sure what's going on. But people are crazy, and people have always been crazy. I'm not gonna sit here and act like this is a new phenomenon, but there's just been a lot of stuff. Maybe the news is just, I don't know, maybe they're just reporting doubly. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of stuff. So we're going to go through a couple of these interesting womp-womp scenarios and what the hell scenarios that took place this week. So first, I don't know if you guys heard about the California man who robbed a bank, then went outside to the ATM to deposit the money. Now, listen, we just got done talking about how times are hard, right? Times are hard. I'm not out here condoning any type of tomfoolery. I'm not condoning any type of illegal activities to restore yourself to whole. That is not what I'm here for. But what I'm saying is that times are hard. And I cannot be shocked if people are taking things into their own hands. I mean, the government is doing, I guess, what it's doing. I don't know. But, for some, the government is not doing enough. And so they have to take matters into their own hands. So this individual, this white man, because I have to say that, right? Because they're always so quick to identify this black person, this Latina man, this Asian man. So this white man from California decided that he was going to rob a Delaware bank, right? I don't know if he traveled from California to perform this heist. I don't know. I don't know if Delaware has more lenient laws when it comes to bank robbers. I don't know. But he decided that he was going to rob this Delaware bank. And so the story goes like this. This individual, Mr. McRoberts Williams, so his name is McRoberts Williams, he decided that he was going to go and rob this Wells Fargo, right, in this shopping center in Wilmington. Wilmington is Wilmington the capital of Delaware? If not, it's a major city. So he decided that he was going to go and rob this bank. He gets into this bank and he hands the teller a note saying he was robbing the bank. I mean, listen, you got to do what you got to do, right? You got to be clear. You got to be clear. He didn't want any issues where they're like, huh, sir, what are you here for? Handed a note. I'm robbing you. Okay. So he hands the note and the teller, you know, hands him over a sum of money. We don't know how much money, or at least it hasn't been disclosed. Or if it has, I haven't gotten it. But either way, she handed over some money to this guy. So Mr. McRoberts left the bank after he robbed it. He stepped away, but then came back and went around to deposit the money that he just stole from the Wells Fargo bank, and went around to the ATM machine to then deposit the funds that he just stole from the very bank into his bank account. Now, normally, normally, and again, I have never robbed a bank before. I have never even been part of these activities, these festivities. I have not been part of these transactions. So I cannot tell you with certainty how this process is supposed to go down. I can't tell you what the playbook says because I have never been part of this type of activity. Never. However, I have watched my fair share of films and movies, set it off being one of my favorite movies of all times. I have watched many movies that have kind of given some sort of blueprint, right, as to how a bank robbery takes place. Now, again, it's a movie, but me being the spectator and the observer, I would dare say that I could imagine that some of the things being played out in the movie are part of what really happens in everyday life, right? So I have never, though, usually when people rob banks, there's a getaway car and they try to get as far away from the premises as possible because in these banks, and Wells Fargo is not a mom and pop bank, there's usually silent buttons, right? There's usually like the police are being alerted somehow and they're on their way. Like as soon as you leave, like there's a police car that's going to be around the corner, you know, coming to investigate. The alarm has went out. They've been alerted. So it's interesting to me how this individual, I don't know if he's never watched one of these movies and maybe he went in blindly. He could have went in blindly. He probably did not, you know, plan this. Maybe he thought that, well, I'm coming from California to Delaware. Maybe this was all he had to do. I don't know what he was thinking. But it's clear to me that he really didn't think this through because instead of getting as far away from the location as possible, he decided that he was going to rob the bank, step away, and then come back to deposit the money in his checking or savings account, which leads me to believe that I guess he had a Wells Fargo account as well. This is bizarre to me. It's bizarre to me. I've never seen or heard of a bank robbery going this way. But how stupid can you be, right? This is literally a womp womp of the week. How stupid can one individual be? And so I haven't seen any updates with respect to him. I know he was arrested. Obviously, they found him. I don't know what he's facing, but this is stupid. This is one of the most stupidest things that I've seen. I mean, I've reported on a lot of crazy, outlandish situations on this platform, but I think this is one that takes the cake. Not only did the guy rob this bank, but then he decided, you know what? I'm going to go around back and I am going to deposit the money that I just stole in my checking account from the ATM attached to the bank that I just robbed. Ridiculous. So definitely womp womp goes of the one of the womp womps of the week goes to Mick Roberts Williams. So the next story that had many of you all scratching your head and thinking WTF comes out of Europe. Now, America is on fleek. You know, between Florida and Texas and parts of California, you know, there's always some sort of crazy, entertaining, what the hell type news that's coming out, right? But I will say, over the years of reporting womp womps on this platform, Europe also takes the cake. We cannot sleep on the craziness that comes out of Europe. And Europe, when they do their craziness, it's with a level of sophistication. Like, it's not just the individual who is involved in some of this craziness. It's like the legal system. Like the people in Europe, they take their craziness to another level. You don't just hear about this random stuff. They are filing court cases. They are suing. They are using the law to further perpetuate their craziness. And that is always the interesting thing with Europe. I remember, what is it, a couple of years ago, I think his name was Rattenberg. I forgot his first name, but I had reported on the guy Rattenberg that basically put in a lawsuit with the Dutch government to allow for, I don't know, trans ageism or something like that, because he was 64 years old. But he felt like a 44-year-old person, and he felt like, you know, I guess he was being discriminated on Tinder because of his age. And so he, since he felt like he was 44, he wanted to legally change his birth certificate and paperwork to reflect how he felt. Craziness. Went to court, like literally went to like the superior court and everything like that. Craziness. Well, here again, guys, this time out of Germany, the Germans are coming up with some stuff. And you know what, though? I think after hearing the story, you guys might say, huh, the Germans might have a point. They might be onto something. So essentially the headline, you know, read, man slips and falls while working from home. Court agrees he's entitled to workers' compensation. I don't know if we've had any of these cases here in the United States, but this might give you all some ideas. You didn't hear it from me, though. So in Germany, courts are now considering walking from your bed to your desk as commuting. Yes, you heard that right. So one man is being allowed to claim the equivalent of workers' compensation after he fell down his apartment steps while working from home. So this is according to The Guardian. The Guardian says that the man slid and cracked a thoracic vertebrae while descending his spiral staircase from his bedroom to his computer. His insurance, however, denied his claims that it was a workplace accident, forcing the rare case to go to court. So in the social court, lawmakers agreed that his initial morning commute from his bed to his home office was an insured work commute, even though the regional social court saw it as an uninsured preparation act that just precedes the actual activity. So as a result, the case was referred to the federal social court, and the court noted in its decision that the man usually began work immediately without having breakfast beforehand. And the statutory accident insurance only covered the first journey to work, implying that if he arrived at his desk unharmed, but then fell en route to the kitchen, then he may not have been covered. Guys, this is getting deep. In his appeal, the man argued that not less in views of the current pandemic, many people worked from home. With regard to the protection provided by the statutory accident insurance, these should not be worse off than the employees in the company. So the way to start working in the home office in the private apartment must therefore be an insured company route. And the court agreed. So basically, guys, in Germany right now, getting up from your bed or traveling from your bed to your home office, which could literally be three steps away, is, I guess, insured ground. So if I were to slip and fall on my way to the home office, which could literally be two steps away, this is a workers' compensation claim. I understand the logic of the court, though. I do, because I'm commuting to work from my bedroom or from whatever, the kitchen, wherever it is that my commute starts. Like, because I guess if you think about it, right, when you get up in the morning, you put your clothes on, you know, you're preparing to leave the home to embark on your journey to the office. Well, here he got up from his bed, probably washed his face, you know, got breakfast, whatever he would do in preparation, and then made the journey down the steps to his office where he works. So the route taken from his, you know, wherever his preparation space was to now the workspace is covered under workers' compensation. I have not seen any of these cases pop up in United States. I'm not saying that they haven't, but it is quite interesting. And I'm sure that they have, but the question is, what have the courts said about it, right? But in Germany, they're like, listen, you're working from home, you are commuting from your bedroom or from the kitchen to your work office, your workspace, that any slip and fall, any injury that takes place between that point A and point B is workers' comp. So it looks like homeboy then is chilling at home, getting paid workers' comp until he gets better. That, I mean, to me, that's boss. That is boss. I mean, do you know how many, I am a clumsy person. Do you know how many times I've injured myself in my home walking to my computer? I'm wondering, like, can I get paid? Can I file a workers' comp claim? Like, I mean, it's genius almost, right? It's genius. I just don't know if the United States will really, you know, follow the same logical path as Germany, but it's crazy. So, I mean, this is really not a womp womp for the individual who brought the case. I think originally people were like, you gotta be kidding me. But you have to show deference. You have to marvel at these individuals who take it all the way like this. Like, this individual sat back and was like, how am I going to be compensated? There has to be a legal argument for this. And homeboy made it happen. You have to stand back in awe at these individuals who are willing to go all the way like this. And the fact that a court affirmed him is even better. Like this is amazing. This is literally amazing. So initially I could understand how somebody would be like, this is a womp womp. Like, come on, like, you're wasting your time. This is stupid. Like, who the hell would even pursue this? Well, somebody did. And they are chilling at home right now, getting paid on workers' compensation in their own house. Like, this is what's happening. So this is actually not a womp womp of the week. This man might actually be the big up of the week. He might be the big up of the week. An inspiration to all. An inspiration to all. So with that being said, everyone, I am not going to, you know, ramble on anymore. This was a Rita Day, another Rita special. I told you guys about my starter locks. I warned you all about the Omicron/Omarion variant that's out here, literally B2King in the streets, pop locking and dropping, doing all this stuff, really wreaking havoc over the holiday season. I mean, many of us knew that something was going to happen. It's the holiday season. People have become very lax. Offices were telling people you don't have to wear your mask because you are vaccinated, and here we are. But it does suck, though, that things are literally shutting down. I was planning on possibly seeing a Broadway show over this break. I am off for the next couple of weeks, and I was looking forward to venturing out in my city and maybe going to a museum or two, you know, double masked, socially distancing. I was looking forward to this, and now it looks like I will be trapped in mi casa, binge watching Mindy Project in the office. Like, I feel like that's really what's going to be happening. So it is quite sad that it's looking like we are jumping into another lockdown of some sort. So it does suck. But I gave you guys the warning, right? I told you guys, go buy some food. Go buy some food today. Go buy some food tomorrow. Go to the grocery store. Stock up on some stuff. Get your toilet paper. You don't want to be one of these individuals hitting me up talking about, Rita, can I buy you a roll off of you for $3? Because I will be marking the prices up. I do have toilet paper. And I will get on the black market if need be. So, you know, be prudent, be vigilant, get yourself some toilet paper, get yourself enough Bounty, get yourself enough food. Don't go crazy and not leave any for other people, but, you know, secure your assets, right? Secure your assets at this point. But next week, guys, 150th episode celebration, we will be revealing our co-host. I'm so excited about it. I'm getting you guys ready for now. Remember, it's no longer WJMS Radio, it's WJMS Media. Our content is going to be available on our podcast streaming platforms. So if you have not done so already, download Spotify, download SoundCloud, download Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whichever one is better for you. I'm not here. I'm not getting money from Apple or any of these platforms, so I'm not promoting one over the one over the other. As you can see, I'm tired. Just get one of them so that whenever a new episode drops, you are the first to know. You don't need to rely on social media to let you know that a new episode is dropping. Just download one of these, you know, platforms and tune in to the content and follow WJMS Media on Instagram. Follow According to RP on Instagram. I know that we've been a little slack with the posting, but with the co-host coming on, we're going to share the load. So According to RP is going to be on and popping during this Christmas break. We will have many controversial topics for you guys to fight about under the statuses. But last and not least, follow Black Ivy Media. We are so excited for the new year. We have some new interns coming on. A lot of new content's going to be created. So follow us on Instagram, Black Ivy Media. Follow our YouTube channel. We have a lot of great things happening. Frida's World is back. So some of our content is from Frida's World is now being showcased in video. So we are getting with the times, guys. We have some video content on the YouTube. But I really appreciate you all again. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Mili Klismas. Feliz Navidad. And I don't know how else you say Merry Christmas. I don't know what other language. Joyeux Noël. And I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.